It's Friday, September 5th, 2008, and it's Hemp Stock Weekend in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Hey, Stashers, as you can tell from the intro, I'm pretty stoked about this weekend. It's the fourth annual Portland Hemp Stock. Time for the Rose City to shine and show what a great cannabis community we have here in the Pacific Northwest. There's going to be some great guests. Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, is going to be there, as well as Vivian McPeak, the director of the Seattle Hemp Fest. I'll be there at the Hemposium delivering a panel on marijuana and the media, as well as performing, playing bass with Tim Pate, the opening act of Seattle Hemp Fest and the musical director of the Portland Hemp Stock. So come on down to the Portland Hemp Stock and check us out. Come on by and say hi. All right, this is a Friday's stash, so as usual, we have our celeb stoner interview, all the latest entertainment news with regard to the celebrity stoners out there, with our own Steve Bloom from celebstoner.com. Also, we'll be visiting with Tim Pate, the aforementioned musical director of the Portland Hemp Stock, with some more details on the bands and the festivities taking place in Portland this weekend. And a special surprise interview with John E. from the group OPM, which stands for Open People's Minds. They've got a new album that just dropped this week, and we'll be featuring one of the tracks from that album in our musical break, a song about legalizing weed, something we can all get behind. All right, folks, in the traditions of Potland, Oregon, it's time to break out the Volcano Vaporizer and six or seven of the best strains you've ever had and enjoy your normal daily audio stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Killing of mayor's two dogs justified, according to sheriff's office. From the Washington Post. The Prince George's County Sheriff's Office has concluded in an internal review that its deputies were justified when they shot and killed two dogs belonging to the mayor of Berwyn Heights during a July drug raid, Sheriff Michael Jackson said yesterday. The sheriff said that one dog was engaging an officer and that the other was running toward a second officer at the time the black labs were shot, but the ruling did not satisfy the mayor, who said the inquiry was incomplete and misleading. According to the necropsy, 7-year-old Peyton was shot 4 times, twice in the chest and twice in the head. One of the shots entered through his mouth and lodged in the back of his neck. 4-year-old Chase was shot twice. One bullet entered the dog's back left leg, then lodged in his right back leg. Then the other entered his side and passed through his chest. Mayor Calvo said, quote, "The report confirms what me and my family saw, heard, and lived, and it makes it clear the sheriff was not telling the truth," end quote. He said the number of gunshot wounds to the two dogs indicates that the violence used in the raid was, quote, "unbelievably excessive," end quote. Jackson said the department looked at each shooting in detail. The first dog was engaging officers near the front door, he said. The second was shot, he said, as it ran away from the deputy who fired and toward an officer standing in an adjacent hallway with his back turned. Calvo said there was no way a deputy shooting from the kitchen could have seen another officer in the hallway, as Jackson described. He called on the sheriff's department to release photos taken of the dogs the night of the raid, which he said will prove the point. The sheriff's office did this internal review without interviewing Mayor Calvo or his mother-in-law, both of whom sat in handcuffs near the collecting pool of blood from the first shot dog. What did they expect the officers involved in the raid to say? That the dogs were not threatening and the second dog was actually running away, as Mayor Calvo asserts? Of course the cops are going to say the dogs were attacking, because part of the standard operating procedure in these drug raids is to kill the dogs as a shock and awe means of pacifying the victims of the raid. Questioning the killing of the dogs misses the larger point. Are the police ever justified in breaking in and terrorizing citizens over marijuana? There was more violence committed by cops in that drug raid than is committed by 1,000 stoners in a year. Fayetteville, Arkansas, lowest priority initiative turns in more signatures from the DRCNet. A municipal initiative that would add Fayetteville, Arkansas, to the growing list of cities and counties that have adopted lowest law enforcement priority initiatives for adult marijuana possession offenses appears headed to the November ballot after organizers handed in nearly 1,000 new signatures last Friday. Petitioners turned in more than 5,000 signatures on August 20th, but after they were examined by city officials, only 3,385 signatures were found to be valid. It takes 3,686 signatures to put the initiative on the ballot. The Fayetteville City Clerk was examining the signatures this week. Even if only 300 of them turn out to be valid, the measure will be on the November ballot. Sponsored by an umbrella group known as Sensible Fayetteville, the measure would not only direct Fayetteville police and prosecutors to make such offenses their lowest priority, it would also order the city clerk to send an annual letter to state and federal officials. That letter would say, quote, "The citizens of Fayetteville have passed an initiative to deprioritize adult marijuana offenses where the marijuana is intended for personal use, and request that the federal and Arkansas state governments take immediate steps to enact similar laws," end quote. The letter would be sent each year until state and federal laws change. These municipal lowest priority initiatives are a good first step in getting involved in marijuana activism. Check with your city clerk to find out if initiative petitions are valid in your city and how many signatures you need to collect. This isn't just for big cities. Small towns are the perfect place to begin these initiatives. Even if you don't gather enough signatures for the ballot, you've brought up the issue to people who've never thought about it. If you get on the ballot and lose, well, you've forced people to make a decision about marijuana. And if you get on the ballot and win, you've struck a huge blow to the drug war lie that average Americans don't want to see pot legalized. Contact your local Normal chapter or National Normal at norml.org, and they can help you with getting all the legalese together. Good luck to you all, and good work, Sensible Fayetteville. High Life, medical marijuana's boomtown, from ABC News. It's estimated that $143 million in medical marijuana sales have netted $11.4 million in state and local taxes annually, based on registered businesses, California State Board of Equalization spokeswoman Anita Gore said. And those estimates are small compared with those in a 2000